let's say it. Let's pray over this service as we get ready to enter the Word of God. Father, we ask you to put me on as your microphone. Open the ears of our understanding that we may hear the living Word of God. And all God's people said, amen. This is one, I'm going to preach actually a message I preached about 7 years ago. And I've been wanting to preach it ever since. It's just one of my favorite messages. And it's one of those things as a preacher, you can't preach it all the time. Even though it's your favorite message, you have to hold back. Because, you know, you can't preach the same thing every Sunday. Well, today's the day. So the title of this message is called Bags Fly Free. All right. How many of you have ever flown in a plane before? Someone was just coming back from vacation last week, Josiah, and he said, Pastor, that the flight got me. I'm not a good flyer. I was a little nervous on the plane. There's a trend in airlines that they charge for bags. It used to be Southwest Airlines, you could get free bags to check. But Southwest in the last 2 years has changed their policy, and now you pay to check a suitcase. Now, for most people, flying is not fun. And it's actually gotten a little bit worse over time because of 9/11, okay? And cost-cutting measures and different things. It's not glamorous like it was in our grandparents' generation. I like to check my bags because I don't like lugging a suitcase around the airport. I don't like trying to jam a carry-on into the little thing above your seat. It's just convenient. But because of baggage fees, most people try to carry more onto the plane with them. And when you're a big-shouldered guy like me, I always try to get the aisle seat, right? So that, you know, I get a little bit more room. And it's always interesting to me that the people carrying those big carry-ons are not recognizing they're carrying those carry-ons. And so my shoulder sticks out into the aisle just a little bit. And so about 200 times when I'm on the plane, boom, 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 boom. Well, I'm thinking, just let us put the bags and check them for free. We wouldn't have this problem. It makes security more crowded because everybody has to put their carry-ons through security. And of course, if they don't have their liquids in 3.2-ounce containers, then the TSA scolds them and steals it from them. They don't steal it. They just take it and throw it away. People get bogged down carrying stuff. Planes are stuffed. People have to work a lot harder to pack to make sure that they pack within the guidelines. And then there's an audaciousness of flying. You're going to trust your life that in a long, hollow metal tube to go to 35,000 feet in the air, controlled by two guys wearing white suits behind locked, padded doors. You don't get a parachute, and in case of an emergency over water, just use your chair. It will save you. If for some reason there is going to be a major malfunction, an oxygen mask will magically drop out of the ceiling, and then you were going to have the option to pass out before the plane crashes so you wouldn't experience it, but you can put the oxygen mask on and experience the full crash. And lastly, next time you're in an airplane, I want to challenge you, in the seat pocket in front of you, they put barf bags. And just for fun, just take the barf bag out and open it up and see how big it actually is. And just realize, if I actually had to vomit, there's no way it's going to fit in this bag. Just the audaciousness of flying. Now, I'm not here today to talk to you about bags and bag fees. I'm here to talk to you about a spiritual principle, and that is that people in life tend to carry baggage, okay? And I want to ask you today, what if as a church, what if we operated our church like an airport? And when you came in today, you didn't have to go through a metal detector, you had to go through a spiritual detector, okay? And you come through the spiritual detector, and you go through and beep, 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 up, 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 let me scan you. And we scan you, and it's like, oh, Mr. Jones, you're carrying some unforgiveness. That doesn't fly in a sanctuary. Okay. Beep, 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 excuse me, Mr. Smith, you've got a critical spirit. And I'm sorry, but that doesn't fly in the sanctuary. You have to unload that before you come in. Okay, and we could do this. We could say maybe the spiritual detector goes off and it discovers that you have condemnation, that you're a perfectionist, and you're beating yourself up. Or maybe it goes off and it recognizes that you're carrying deep-seated hurt from your childhood, or it recognizes that you've been grieving and you've just not been able to feel yourself in the last several years. It doesn't work like that. But we ought to know. Maybe we do need to have the Holy Ghost put us through a spiritual detector and say, are you carrying some extra baggage? Condemnation, beating yourself up for the past. Unforgiveness, not letting go of a hurt. Bitterness and resentment. A critical spirit. Perfectionism, stuff and hobbies. You know, I'm all for stuff. I'm all for hobbies. Hobbies are wonderful. We enjoy our hobbies. But, you know, anytime we get out of balance, it can become baggage. Can I share something with you? In 30-plus years of ministry, and we're in softball and baseball season, and I enjoy softball. I enjoy baseball. I enjoy watching kids succeed. But can I just tell you out of love, I've seen good families break up pursuing sports to an extreme, okay? And what happens is we think it's a good thing, okay? And at first, let's use travel ball for an example. And I'm not against travel ball. I'm not saying don't do travel ball, but you need to really think it through. Because at first, what happens is it causes your family to have to step away every weekend. And that's a good thing because it forces your family to be together. Okay, and that's good. Okay, but what happens over time is there's a process where many families are spending money they don't have. Okay, and then what happens is, and this is a key, husbands and wives begin to put their child on a pedestal above their marriage. Folks, I know that we're supposed to be willing to do anything for our kids, but your marriage, you honor your spouse over your child. Now, I'm not saying leave your kids out in the snow at night. Bring them in inside, at least when it gets below 20. It's the law. Don't neglect your kids. But what the greatest gift you can give your children is a healthy marriage, okay? And what happens is these folks, they get out of balance, okay? And you begin to serve the kid, and it begins to control your life. And I've watched many, many marriages. I'll tell you a story from the first one I saw 30-plus years ago. And great parents, good-looking, athletic parents, and the dad was a Division I basketball athlete, okay? Great ball player. Well, they wanted that for their kids. And they put their three sons in elite travel basketball programs, put them in elite lessons with money they did not have. They borrowed, took loans against their house, okay? And I know basketball, and these kids were decent. They were decent. But here's the problem. They never had a growth spurt. All of them stayed short. And folks, there's just something you can't coach. That's genetics. And if some kid's 7 foot tall and your kid barely 5 foot tall, there's an advantage. Okay? And those kids were good kids. But they didn't play D1, let alone D3. And the parents bankrupted themselves. And because of that stressful lifestyle, it broke their marriage up. And this was a good, faith-filled Christian couple who would look good in any church in America. But they got their priorities out of whack, and it just, the balance got off, and what could have been a blessing turned into baggage. And we can do that with so many things. Conviction. You know, there's times that the Holy Spirit will convict you and say, hey, you know, maybe it's time to deal with this issue in your life. Well, when the Holy Spirit does it, it brings conviction, and there's a corresponding grace of the Holy Spirit, and that corresponding grace helps you to deal with it. But here's the thing. We can step out of conviction and into condemnation, all right? And let's just be honest. Every one of us in here has had a moment in our life since we got born again that we are not proud of. Every one of us has had a time where maybe our flesh got the best of us. Okay, Romans chapter 7, I call it the do-do chapter of the Bible, where Paul says, I don't do the things I should do. I do the things I should not do. Oh, wretched man that I am. Now, that's not our standard. That's not where we're trying to go. But even the great apostle Paul had some struggles. You and I are going to make some mistakes. Does that make sense, everybody? Okay? And when we do, there are people that beat themselves up so bad that just feel like such a failure, and it's like they can hardly get out of bed, they can hardly face anybody because they're overwhelmed with condemnation, not conviction. And conviction is of the Holy Spirit, condemnation is of the devil, and it becomes baggage. Okay? Perfectionism, baggage, okay? Critical spirits, baggage. What is, there's some folks, it seems like they know how to do everything. They know how to run our country. They know how to run the town. They know how to run the church. They know how to run the sports programs. They know how to do everything. And I guess my question is, if they know how to do everything, how come they haven't done anything? You know, don't take criticism from anybody you wouldn't take advice from. Okay. But a lot of people who know how to do everything haven't done anything. Do the math. There's something I've learned here. I like my way of doing things better than somebody else's way of not doing things. And I know that I'm not perfect. There's nothing you're ever going to do that turns out perfect. All right, this praise team, I mean, we enjoyed the worship service today, and worship service isn't about really our enjoyment and pleasure. It's about worshiping God. But how many of y'all know when they're singing on key and on beat that it does help us to enter into, like, we can focus on worshiping God other than that hurts my ears? It's kind of nice, okay? Praise God. But they'll tell you, everyone on this praise team will tell you that on most every service, they make a mistake somewhere. Somewhere, someone's going to sing a wrong note. Somewhere, someone's going to come in on the wrong time. Someone's going to play a wrong note. It happens. You know, there's times when I'm preaching, and I'll put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. okay? And you know what? One of the funny ones, that almost every young preacher does this. There's a scripture in the book of James that says, it says, resist the devil and submit to God. Okay? Well, so many preachers, especially when we're young, we're so excited and our tongues get tied, and we'll do something like say, you know, resist God and submit to the devil and preach a whole sermon that way, not realizing what we said. Okay? But these are things, you know, I remember being a young preacher, and when I was a younger preacher, I wanted to be a revivalist. I wanted to be this preacher that was just going to have revival, and there were going to be thousands of people come, and everybody was going to be overwhelmed with the power of God and convicted of their sin. And I would have these serious messages about repentance and about living holy, and I would have these serious messages ready to go, and I would get up to preach, and for whatever reason, God would just twist my message, and it came out humorous. I was so mad. People would start laughing. I would be trying to preach serious, and a funny story would come out, and people would just, I'm like, you're supposed to be repenting and crying, and you're all laughing. I remember the first time Andrea cooked for me, and we were dating, and we were starting to get, I like you, she liked me, and like, this is good, you know, and she was going to cook for me. She was not a natural born cook, and she made me a roast with an apple pie, and she was so upset because I put ketchup on the roast. Yeah, some of you looking at me like I'm the devil, but she didn't know the difference between baking apples and eating apples. And so she made the apple pie out of eating apples, so it was apple pie soup. And I just remember, of course, I didn't have the tact I have now, you know. And so pray for Andrea. She's a good woman. But man, if we get caught up in being perfectionists, you're never going to do nothing. You have to be willing to make some mistakes. You have to be willing to laugh at yourself. You know you're going to have big problems in life. Somebody, you know, one of the things as a pastor is people sometimes tell you their problems, okay? And they're not just dumping. Most people say, well, I want you to pray for me. I'm telling you because I want you to be concerned in prayer. And absolutely, and that's okay. But can I just tell you, you're all going to go through some really tough problems. That problems are proof you're alive. Okay? As a matter of fact, the only people in this life that don't have problems live in the cemetery 24/7. So if you got problems, you're doing good. You're on this side. That's good. And there's no problem you're going to have that's too big for you, that too big for God. You might have some problems that feel too big for you, but they're not too big for God. And the way you're going to solve every problem is simply this. You put one foot in front of the other and you trust God. And some of you, maybe you've got dealt some really bad cards in life. Maybe you had a situation with a job. You had a situation with a family member, a neighbor, whatever it might be. But ladies and gentlemen, there is no problem that God cannot handle. His grace is sufficient for us. And some people, it's like you, without meaning to, you're a magnet for problems. And the reason you're a magnet for problems is because you magnify the problems, okay? When problems come, it's just like you enjoy the problem, and you want to share that problem with everybody because problems give you attention, okay? And look, I'm not saying you won't have problems. You're going to have problems, but guess what? You're bigger than the problem. God's bigger than the problem. God's given you grace to overcome. And there are some folks, it's like, man, when they get ready to go anywhere, do you all remember when you had little kids and you had to go somewhere, babies? I mean, what a rude awakening, having a baby. It's a good awakening, but I mean, you go from sleeping at night to not sleeping at night. You go from thinking about yourself to not thinking about yourself. You know what I mean? You go from having clean shirts to having vomit and barf and poop all over your shirt. You find out that there are certain ways that you're supposed to dress babies, and there are certain ways those snaps go together on those onesies, and apparently you have to go to college to know that. But, you know, remember, you go pack somewhere to go for a baby, with a baby, and you're just going to Walmart. And you got to have the stroller and the car seat. And you got to have the diaper bag. And you can't just have a little diaper bag. You've got to have lots of diapers. And we found out you have to have a change of clothes. Why? It's called a blowout in our house. Andrew called it a blowout. You have to be ready at any time to go into the bathroom and change your kids' clothes and somehow use a nasty Walmart bathroom sink to perform a bath to your kid who was just fine 5 minutes ago. And so by the time you load up that kid, and then if it's wintertime in Indiana, oh, dear Lord Jesus. I mean, you got to bundle them up. Bundle up that little blessing of joy. The coat. Snow pants, boots, hat, gloves. And what do they do to the hat and the gloves the moment you put them on? You all know. Those rebellious kids. But you know, those mamas trying to go anywhere, and it's like you got to take half your house with you just to go get a bag of groceries. Folks, there are people living their life that way. People living their life carrying a bunch of stuff God doesn't want them to have. People pleasing. Oh my. Making everybody happy. The only way you're going to make everybody happy in this life is to give away ice cream. And even then, there are people be like, well, I'm sensitive in my stomach to lactose. I mean, you can't even make people happy giving away ice cream. When you fly, American or Southwest, United, you're going to pay for bags. Bags always have a cost. They don't care about you. They don't care about much. They just want you to carry them and you to pay for them. And folks, you will. You carry the bags, you're going to pay for it. Number one, carrying baggage is contrary to the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says this, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We have scripture that tells us, lay aside baggage. And you know, sometimes, once again, we have found that there are just folks that enjoy the baggage that because of the attention it gets them. But out of an obedience to the command of God, let it go. There might be a time when you say, Pastor, that I don't know how. I can't. You can't. But God can. During our first service, we had Becky Niece here. She was on the second row. And we had Becky about a couple months ago lost her mother, okay? And especially you ladies know how close for many of you are to your mothers. And some of you have told me that 20 years later, 30 years later, you still feel it. And Becky lost her mother, and she was just really overcome with grief. And it was affecting her, like just she felt that heaviness, that hurt, that cloud. And we had a service in here, and there was just a time where sometimes I just get off the beaten path of the message and just kind of flow with the Holy Spirit for a moment. And there was a time in the message that I just declared freedom in Christ, freedom in Christ, freedom in Christ. And she said at that moment, the power of God touched her life and she knew that she had been set free. You see, but she surrendered it. She couldn't, but God can. And number two, carrying baggage burdens our life purpose. You are God's Swiss Army knife. You're a multifaceted tool. You have an assignment to your family. You have a career, a vocation, and a heavenly calling to be of service to God, to be of service to others. And even in the natural, folks, even in the natural, if we were running a marathon, we're going to run and dress appropriately. You know, I've read some books on the Appalachian Trail. It's the longest trail in America, one of the longest trails in the world. It goes from Georgia to Maine, okay? And there are people that have a certain craziness about them that do this trail. It takes about 6 months. Most of them start in Georgia and go north, okay? They start in early spring, and they try to get done in Maine before it gets cold. All right, and you're going over several mountain ranges up and down, and you don't just go hike the Appalachian Trail. You have to prepare your body for this. You have to be in great physical shape. You have to study what equipment you need. You have to know where the stops are that you're going to be able to refill your food, and just this is something you have to give a great deal of planning to be able to do. And I've read some books about people who've done it, and the things that were learned. Well, one of the lessons that everybody learns is stop number one. And so if you start in Georgia and you start hiking north, you're going to go for a few days, and then you're going to come to a road. And when you cross the road about a mile off the trail, there is a store that you can walk to that store and replenish your food and just have a few creature comforts before you get back on the trail. And the people at this store have learned they keep 55-gallon barrels out, okay, outside the store. And what happens is when people are coming and making stop number one, they are re-examining everything they brought. And they realize, I don't need this. I don't need this. I don't need this. I don't need a shovel. I don't need the heavy water bottle. I'm going to get a light water bottle. And what happens is because they realize if you're going to hike 12 hours a day up and down mountains, every ounce matters. And so they just simply discard extra layers of clothing. They discard anything that is not absolutely necessary for survival. They say, I'm not going to go on this hike carrying that any longer. And folks, the marathon, the Appalachian Trail of your life is much longer and much steeper than just Rome, Georgia to Maine. It goes a lot longer, a lot steeper, and there's a lot more baggage that we can tend to pick up. I want to encourage you, don't go another step carrying baggage that God has not asked you to carry. I had a word in the first service that there are people here today and you've been divorced in your past and maybe even 30 years ago, and you're even remarried today, and there are still things in that previous marriage that still affect you, that still hurts you. And folks, it can be, you can have freedom in Jesus' name. You don't have to carry that hurt or shame or condemnation any longer. There are folks that are here today and you had an abusive situation with your mother or your father. There are folks here today you were bullied in an insane way and when you were in school, and you have shame. You're 50 years old, and because of the way that you were bullied back when you were a kid, it affects you today. That's baggage. There are some of you that you still, it's not that you're ever going to stop mourning the loss of a loved one, but there are some that are in here today, and you're carrying this weight of the grief that's killing you and suffocating you, and it's causing clinical depression. It's causing darkness to try to come and have a way and a place in your life. That's not God, and God says today, you can lay aside that weight that so easily ensnares you. Carrying baggage burdens our life purpose. Maybe you're a woman and a wife and mother today, caring for your kids and then that big kid called your husband, working a 9-to-5 job, housework and chores, It's a tough job without any baggage, let alone trying to carry a 50-pound weight as you do it. Today, bags can cost you in health. They can cost you in priorities. They can cost you joy and peace. They can cost you relationship and the blessings of God. You're not designed to carry bags. I just heard in my heart that there are folks here because of something that happened in your childhood with your parents. It causes you to have a severe tendency to overeat. And it goes back to something that happened in your childhood. You'll know this is you. It causes you to want to get into the sin of gluttony because of something that happened in your childhood, and it still affects you several years later today. And every time you sit down at a table, you cannot stop yourself because of something that happened when you were a kid. Jesus says today you can be free from that. You know, folks, this is some serious stuff. You know, there was a time I sat table face to face with a guy who's a friend of mine, and we developed a good relationship. And this man was a man's man. He's one of the toughest guys you ever saw. I mean, I'm a big guy. I'm not afraid of much, but I wouldn't have taken this guy on. He was tough. I mean, rough and tough guy, and a good old redneck boy. And we were sitting down, and we developed a close friendship. And one time we're sitting in a place, and he said, "I got to get something off my chest." I said, "Okay, what is it?" He said, "Man, when I was a kid, there was a man that raped me." He said, "And that man raped me," and he talked about how it ruined his childhood. It talked about the pain that he carried. And he said he'd went one time. That's one of the reasons why he became so macho, because he was training himself to kill that man. And he got to the place, and he was an avid gunsman, and he got to a place where he had the gun, and he was in position, and all he had to do was pull the trigger, and he could be rid of his pain. But he knew at that moment that would never rid him of the pain that he experienced. Folks, you can kill the person that oppressed you. It won't be enough. Only God can take away some baggage in your life. So how do we get rid of it? Number one, God's work. Matthew 11, verse 28 and 30, and I left you a little bag tag in your bulletin. I'll share in a moment the scripture. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come to Jesus today. It's absolutely true. Jesus is willing to take care of your baggage. The word Christ, when we say Jesus Christ, Christ was not the last name of Jesus. Christ was the title of Jesus. Jesus' last name was Ben David, son of David. And if you look at Jesus' bloodline from Mary and Joseph, both Mary and Joseph were in the direct lineage of David, that if Israel was not under Roman occupation at that time, Jesus would have been the true king of Israel in the natural, not just the spiritual. He was Jesus, son of David. It was a very prestigious lineage to have, okay? But Jesus was given a title, the Christ. The Christ meant the anointed one and his anointing. And the word anointing in the Bible means the yoke destroying, burden removing power of God. Every time we say Jesus Christ, we're saying Jesus, the anointed one, and his burden removing, yoke destroying power. Folks, that is Jesus the Christ that we serve. I want to encourage you today with all passion within me, do not use the name of Jesus as a curse word. There's no other name under heaven and earth which man might be saved other than Jesus Christ. He is the King and the Lord. We call on him and we shall be saved. Nobody says, "Oh Buddha." Nobody says, "Oh Muhammad," because they're dead. But Jesus is alive, and the Christ is just as true today as it was 2,000 years ago. And he can remove your burden. He can destroy the yokes of bondage in your life today. If you're carrying bags today, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to walk out those doors with them. Hot dog, hallelujah. God's in the house and he's setting people free. John 8:36, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And number two, you got to receive it by faith. I'll say it again. Some people enjoy problems and bags because it gets them attention. Okay? Don't be that person. Can you get to heaven like that? Yeah. But you'll miss your purpose. You don't want to stand before Jesus realizing you missed a great deal of your purpose. This is a true story. Now, you all know my wife. She's vicious. Listen, you all laughing. I want you to look at this shirt. See this shirt? A lot of you complimented my shirt today. Y'all think it looks nice? Okay, well, I just want you to know this is not the shirt Andrew laid out for me. I'm afraid to go home today. And you see, this shirt right here, about a 1-inch long wrinkle right here that did not get ironed out today. And I'm in trouble. Listen, she's vicious, folks. She's got blood coming off her fangs. She's mean-spirited. Look, you think this praise team's up here playing so good because they feel so encouraged and positive. They're afraid for their lives. How many of y'all believe me? Not a one. You do, brother. You're not married yet, are you? Nope. You learn from the people around me. Well, I'm doing the opposite of what you should do, just so you know. Andrew and I were meeting with someone recently. And when you're over 50, recently is in the last 20 years. Hey, sweetie. Just talking about you, babe. You look good today. I got to learn to have the sound. We have speakers all through the foyer and such. We have to learn to cut those when I'm getting in trouble. Andrew and I were meeting with someone recently. And they were talking about they were the way they were and acted certain ways that were not appropriate because of the way they were treated by their father when they were a child. Well, this person was in their 70s, okay? Now, we want to be compassionate and loving, but sometimes the compassionate thing is to say, you don't have to stay there, which is what the vicious lady over here said. And listen, you know, that person got really upset. I mean, how dare you suggest I can move beyond this? Now, keep in mind, I've been there. I know what they're talking about. Been there, done that. And thank God, I've been in some services and I've been a part of some ministry that like this today, where God did something very special and eliminated the hurt and eliminated the baggage out of my life. And I'm here to tell you, it's a lot better living without the baggage and with it. You know, one of the reasons why sometimes you see a person, and if this is you, don't get under condemnation. I'm teaching, and you're living in victory. You've beaten this. But sometimes when you see somebody who's had multiple marriages, okay? And it seems like they just keep... But one of the reasons is they're not dealing with the baggage, and they're taking that baggage into the new marriage. It's not that they don't love that person, that they're in love. They wouldn't have got married if they weren't in love. But that baggage keeps coming up and driving a wedge between them, you see. Maybe you're here married today, and you say, man... That's us. You know, one thing, ladies, I love you. You have these long memories that are so gifted. You're gifted. But please don't hold your spouse accountable for what your ex did. Amen. You got to let it go. You got to forgive and get rid of that baggage so you're not beating him over the head with it. So you got to receive it by faith. Quit nursing your baggage. Quit learning to live with it. Receive the promise of God and refuse to carry it. The Word of God says in Isaiah 55 and 24, cast your burden on the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. We've got two things we're going to do left in our service today. First of all, in just a moment, Andrew's going to come and play a song called I Will Never Be the Same Again. And it's a beautiful song. We haven't sung it for a while here, and I felt like we needed to bring it out today. And as she comes to sing in just a moment, I want you to prepare your heart. And if there is some baggage in your heart, I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with you and make a covenant in your heart to surrender it to him. In your bulletin is a little piece of paper. It probably slipped out about five times, but it's just like a little fake bag tag. And it's got Matthew on there about come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. And if there is some baggage in your life that you need to let go, when we're done with the service today, we're going to open this altar area up. And if you need to come down, even from the balcony, come down and lay that piece of paper on the balcony or on the stage here. And if you want to kneel and pray, you want to stand and pray, just have as much time as you need with God to allow the Lord to minister to you to pull that out. Okay. It's gardening season. Gonna have weeds in your flowers. Can't have that. They're the devil. But if you go pull them out today, they're gonna snap right off and you're not gonna get the root. And they'll be back tomorrow, those devils. But you wait till after Monday. It's going to rain on Monday. And you'll be able to pull those weeds out with the roots. Okay? And when we're doing stuff like this, you see, a service like today, the Holy Spirit, the faith of God is raining into your hearts. And he's softening your heart. And then when you say, Lord, I want rid of this baggage, Lord, I want to let this go. The Holy Spirit just, and here come the roots. Temper, anger, shame, depression, guilt. Someone's you're here today and you're beating yourself up because you said the wrong thing, or you had an opportunity to when you were younger to share something and you didn't, and you've been beating yourself up for 20 years. Let it go. Let the Holy Spirit just come and pull that out in Jesus' name. So we're going to sing the song in just a moment. Before we do, I want to do one other thing. Yesterday at the White House, or near the White House, there was a gala called the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And all the elite journalists of our nation assemble with the president and high-ranking officials of our government. And last night there was an assassination attempt. Someone busted in and gunshots rang out. Thankfully, no one was hurt other than the gunman. But there's a video clip I want you to look at today. And it showed the members of the press corps. They're all dressed up. They're wearing tuxedos for the men, evening gowns, luxurious-looking evening gowns for the ladies. They looked beautiful. But when those gunshots rang out, look at the video. The elite, highly educated, highly prestigious people of our society were running with looks of terror and fear. And they did not know what to do. They were petrified. Look at the video and look at the fear in their eyes. Why is that important, Pastor Matt? I don't care if you're wearing a tuxedo or a $10,000 Estee Lauder dress. I don't care if you're worth $1 billion or if you've won the Pulitzer Prize. Every one of us has an appointment with destiny to meet our Maker. And at that moment, there will be no education, there will be no degrees, there will be no awards, no tuxedos, no dresses, no bank accounts. It will be you, your life, and Jesus Christ. And it's going to be a very simple question. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And those people, when they came just a little bit close to death last night, the fear of this world overcame them. It was bigger than their tuxedo, bigger than their prestige. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you that moment will be hellaciously fearful, because there are words, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity." You don't ever want to hear those words. You want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master's happiness." It's that serious. And we can be tough, and we can stand behind hobbies, or stand behind, "Oh, I'm good looking," or stand behind, "I live in America," whatever you're standing behind. But at that moment when we face death, it will reveal what you are, who you are. So I want to ask a very personal question today, and I want to ask it very boldly. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today? Because when you are faced with death, and you will be, I want you to go out with a smile on your face that says, "I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm going to a mansion that's been prepared for me. I'm going to be walking on streets of gold. I've been forgiven of my sins. Though they be as crimson, they shall be white as snow. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. In him I live and move and have I being." And you're going to have a treasure in earthen vessels. I'm here to tell you today, Jesus Christ is the best thing you'll ever do, to accept him as your Lord and Savior. So I stand before you today wearing a shirt with a wrinkle in it.
There's more than one.
But I appeal to you today. Do you know Jesus? If you were to die today, are you ready? If you say, "Pastor Matt, I want to be ready right now." You say, I'm not sure I was, but I want to be ready. Would you let me know somewhere in this building? Just raise your hand up long enough where I can see you. I want to recognize you today, and we're going to have a prayer for you. There's no magic in our prayer. We're just going to have a moment to pray and call on Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Is there anybody in here? That's me, Pastor. I'm not seeing any hands. It's okay. That's okay. Well, church, awesome. That means, listen, we have a great security team here, but if they failed, we got blown up. We'll all be in heaven together.
Amen.
But that's not going to happen. And Jesus, well, we're all going to be in heaven together, but not because of something stupid like that. We're going to sing this song, and then after we're done with the song, Brother Steve's going to come up and give us some lasagna instructions, and then you have some time if you want to come to the altar and pray. If you want to be dismissed, it'll be up to you, but this altar is available for you. We'll have prayer partners up here as well. God bless you. Let's stand to our feet and sing this together.
I will never be the same again. I can never return. I've closed the door. I will walk the path. I will run the race. And I will never be the same. the path. I will run the race, and I will never be the same again. Fall like fire, soak like rain, flow like mighty waters again and again. Sweep away the darkness, burn away the chaff, and let the flame burn to glorify your name. I will never be the same again. I can never return. I've closed the door. I will walk the path. I will run the race. And I will never be the same.